Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad, and we are broadcasting live today. This is, happy full moon. We have so much stuff going on at the present time with the stars, etc. We've got 11, 11, 11 coming in tomorrow. First of all, I want to just let you know we have a guest, Kevin Leinbach, who's an astrologer. His website is plutoschild.com. You might want to check it out. Well, don't leave this place, right? This one right now. Just stay here on either bbsradio.com or judithconradradio.com. So with the full moon, here it is. It is right upon us, and I've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. We have, you know, just so many planets that are moving around, and I just want to repeat, first of all, that a full moon, of course, it illuminates everything in the sky. It also illuminates all of the stuff that we've tried to hide. Oh, yeah, not you, not me. I'm not me, baby. Mm-mm. So all of the stuff that's been kind of hidden is coming up for us to look at. Sometimes we can say the dark side of the moon. I'd say the dark side of the moon is all of the material, all the stuff that is hidden. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about the chasm and the monster there? And you know, we can try to keep that monster down there, or we can address the monster and say, hey, I just really want to talk about this. Find out what it is. Perfect time to do it as we're moving into the 11-11-11. The shadow side of these signs, the two signs that we're talking about, because it's a Taurus full moon. The dark side of Taurus, remember I said, is about being materialistic, simplistic, and unwilling to change. If you want to get hit up the side of the head, you'll probably just continue with that. If you want to get moving on that, you might want to reconsider, take up those roots, or take, you know, as a Taurus, you know, they put their feet, their hooves down and they're not budging. Just let yourself be a little more flexible. Scorpio dark side, well, of course, here I am, the Scorpio, and it can be manipulative, it can be obsessive and unable to trust. These are, you know, these different factors are very, very important for us to look at here. I'm not going to go into too much about that because I want our astrologer, Kevin, to really get into this. Looking at the 11-11-11, is that not such a powerful number? It represents a spiritual initiation and a gateway, a portal. It offers extraordinary support for profoundly transformative meditations, group prayers, and mass awakenings. Yes, the world is awakening. It is coming very rapidly. People are all of a sudden, they're going along just happy as a clam in their routine. They're just like in their gerbil cage going round and round and round. Then all of a sudden something crash and burn, and they get this that they've got to go deeper. I am always so happy. I don't like anything negative happening to any of you folks out there or anyone. However, when it takes something drastic to get you to take a good look at what's going on, I really would like to have that. Before I go on into doing my intuitive insights, I'd like to thank Shannon Nill of Guarantee Chevrolet out in Junction City for hosting us. And we had a marvelous time with Dylan Scott and Ray Marie Biagni. It was her birthday yesterday. Well, here we got. Let's get these intuitive insights. First of all, we have the Nine of Wands. Wands represents spirituality, and it is strength. Sun and Moon in Sagittarius. The Sun. And of course, Kevin's going to have a different take on each. And he pulled the cards. These are divination tools. Sun in Sagittarius for me means to go direct with your energy toward Sagittarius, which for me represents your vision and where you think you're going. With the 11-11-11, it is extremely important that you ask with your intentions that it be revealed what is your life purpose, because it's coming up. With this 11-11-11, we are being asked to open a doorway, a portal, from which we may never reemerge to go backwards. We can only go forward. And sometimes it may be just a little uncomfortable as we're asking for the life purpose. And the Sun in Sagittarius says, let's illuminate that. Let's go without hesitation. Do not stop to collect whatever. Let's go direct to the vision of what we are here to do. With the Moon, It is about trusting that vision. The moon in Sagittarius is, we're looking at the trust, the magnetic energy of the moon that could attract that. Because when you put the intention out, this is a good evening, I think, maybe tomorrow night, to do meditation, a meditation of asking exactly that. What is it that I'm here to do? The second divination tool, the number 4 of swords, mental. That's mental, and it is the number 4. Well, it's truce. With 4 swords coming together in the center, opening up the lotus. And for me, it's coming to truce on all levels. Now, what does truce mean to you? It does not mean surrender. It's like a giving up of how I have to be right, or what I was talking about before with that Taurus energy. It's my way or the freeway. Well, you know, it hasn't worked so far. So you might want to consider that we're coming to truce with what our real purpose is. And when we can let go, and yes, maybe even surrender to what it is spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically that we're here to accomplish. It is just so huge. And then the third divination, which is the 5 of swords. All right, so we've got the 4 of swords. That's Jupiter in Libra, which is Jupiter says, let's expand our balance. And the 5 is about Venus in Aquarius. This card for me represents males, male authority figures, and father. It is the card of mental defeat in and around males, male authority figures, and father. And I'd like to have you just take a look at, and it could also be the patriarchy. We're going to be talking also about Occupy Wall Street. Because it's stirring up stuff, and it goes down, and then it goes up, and it goes down, and going up in as far as the public interest. That is also a patriarchal movement. It's a grassroots. It could be even the feminine. I don't know. But it feels like mental defeat is where people feel that they're being trapped. They don't know how to move. And, of course, Venus, which is love, and we talked about again last night, when there is no love, there's only fear. You can't have two things occupying the same place. And in Aquarius, it's asking us to love something new. And Aquarius is what is new, what is intellectually stimulating to move us forward. And then the last one is the 3 of cups, emotional abundance. Interesting combination. We had 1 of the wands, 9 of wands. We had 2 swords, which is mental. And then we have the cups. Nothing on the physical plane here. So this is Mercury in Pisces. You've got 3 cups, and each one is being filled with a golden lotus. And it's filling the cups. They're overflowing. It's like a fountain. It fills with this golden illumination, and then it overflows. And it's just like it's something that continues over and over and over again. Pretty interesting, if you ask me. Okay, and we'll get Kevin Leinbach to give us an interpretation, because he's an astrologer, and he has, I'm not an astrologer, I love it, where I get my astrology is from the cards, because with the Crowley deck, it does have all kinds of astrology there. With 11-11-11, I want to attribute this to Elizabeth Jones, whose website is astrologyoflight.com. She lives in Mount Shasta. She's a very, very good astrologer there, and she also does the tarot. A lot in common here. Looking at 11-11-11, as I mentioned, it's about the opening of a portal. And it's as we're opening it now, we're looking at how it moves us into 2012. Now, most people think 2012, everything's going to blow up. We're going to be dead. We're going to be gone. It is simply an opening to something else. And sometimes we have to have that breakdown before we have the breakthrough. There's an initiation going on right here, especially with this full moon. And our soul's intention is being activated. You can say, no, thank you. I think I'll just pass on this one. It would be advisable for you to not ignore it, but to say, okay, but please, would you make it easier? I don't want to have, you know, discomfort. However, if that's what's required. And sometimes when we are on our spiritual path, we think it's going to be a bed of roses and we're going to have, it's going to be la, 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 la. And sometimes we do, it gets a little uncomfortable. And at that point, it's good then that we are in retreat. 11, 11, 11. Three master numbers. We have 11, 11, 12, 12. I mean, 22, 33, 44. And according to some of the material I've read, 33 represents the Christ consciousness, the Buddha consciousness. And I don't know a lot about that. I was hoping my numerologist friend from Mount Shasta would call in. 11, then, is the number of illumination. And when it's vibrating in the power of illumination, we have that. Because several of these cards, other than that Five of Swords, has a lot of light. Are you ready to do what it is you intended for this lifetime? Your soul has made this agreement, and here we are with this. So illuminating the purpose. We got a lot of Neptune right now. We've got to let several planets that are impacting us with this full moon and with this 11-11-11. I'm not going to touch too much on that because I want Kevin to do that. This is what Elizabeth has put forward. If you do not know your destiny or path, call it forth at this time. Tomorrow at 11-11, 11 o'clock and 11 minutes, on the date of 11-11-11, it would be good to sit in meditation. I'm going to be in the middle of a Reiki session with this lady who is a kick butt Reiki, and I will know, and that's going to be very important for that's where I need to be. And you can say an invocation. An invocation is a declaration that you're ready to know. I invoke the light. I invoke my life purpose, my soul purpose, not just your life purpose. Your life purpose could be to teach high school. Your life purpose could be to be the best accountant in the world. Your soul purpose is much, much deeper. You're going to call forth any new potential to come through you, and you're going to call forth new opportunities to present themselves in your life. If you have been on hold, in the void and not knowing which way to go, this definitely, with the energy, will kickstart, jumpstart. Just say, I'm ready. Hello, I'm ready. And let go of what it's going to look like. If you think that, you know what it's going to be, it's kind of like when I started studying this intuitive work. I said, okay, God, can we please renegotiate this? I'm thinking, foreign travel. I had to let go of any preconceived notion that this was the new career. And when I found out that this was the new career in intuition, people way back in 1984 thought I was absolutely raving crazy. They still do. And, now I welcome it because I'm much more comfortable. I know that this is part of my purpose. And who knows, if I say I'm ready for what my sole purpose is, then I must be ready to accept it. Of course, my birthday is next Thursday. And Kevin, being the astrologer he is, he probably could give me some information on that. We shall see. No pressure. No pressure whatsoever. So now, if you are willing to open to this portal, there will be tools, there will be systems and modalities that will be available to you on the planet. Some people will be asked to move, and for some that may not be exactly what they wanted. However, if you're asking, expect. Expect that you are going to receive this. Let's go to this one astrology card, which is strength. If you were to sit just quietly and say, well, what are my strengths? Are you a good communicator? Are you someone who can assist others in moving their career forward? Are you someone who is very intuitive? You kind of keep it under wraps. Are you someone who can help? I'm just, you fill in the blank. Looking at your concerns and your fears, are you strong enough to step beyond those? And let's say a chasm is presenting itself to you, and you're looking at the chasm, and you're ready to jump across, and you're saying, oh, really? You expect me to do that? Oh, God, are you nuts too? It's kind of fun. You know, I just like to have you make it a game because it's big. But see, that's what gets a lot of people. If it's big and it's huge and it's beyond what you've ever done and you just, oh, golly, I don't know that I can do that. I'd like to just challenge you. Just say, okay, I know if it's given to me, there will be tools and it will be available and it won't be so difficult. And if it is difficult, there will be people to help you. All right. Well, I'm not going to take a break yet. I'm just going to bring Kevin in now because I feel it's time because I can just feel his wheels turning. He's been writing notes. And I just, you know, for those people listening, if there's any point you would like to give us a call, you know, Skype, we have so many lines that you could call in on. So let's bring in Kevin Linebach. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Judith.
Hey, are you ready?
I think I am.
All right. Okay, you were the one that pulled these cards, so I'm going to give them back to you. And with the four combination, let's see what you have to say about these four cards here.
Well, I don't know what I have to say about
nothing. That's
the tarot,
fine.
But one of the things that you were talking about was the strength.
Yes.
And it made me think of, are you strong enough to express who you are?
That's, oh.
Comes right down to that. And what I've been thinking about with the 11, 11, 11, there are so many ones, and the ones are the expression of yourself, the beginning,
okay,
the full moon, or excuse me, the new moon, the growing force, the life force. And of course the 11 then is the two ones that are the balance.
Oh,
that bring you to the two. The 11 is a very important spiritual number. But what I see with this 11, 11, 11, and it kind of is culminating early, perhaps with the full moon, because today we actually have five ones in the day. Tomorrow is six, but today we have plenty. And even yesterday wasn't, you know, with 11, 2011. But what I see with all of that is a great danger of becoming overwhelmed.
Yeah.
How do you express all of that energy? And I think I wasn't the only one that chuckled about it, but in the news today, of course, they've been playing Rick Perry's poor little gaffe on his Republican debate where he could only name two out of the three government programs that he was gonna get rid of. And there he was on national television with everybody watching, and he stumbled over his words.
Yeah.
And it was just the most remarkable thing. But it really made me think that is the kind of energy that so many people, it's not easy to express who you are. And of course, there's all these obstacles along the way. Are you strong enough to express who you are? Are you strong enough to, in the face of questions, criticism,
mm-hmm.
Self-doubt, self-denial, all of those things, are you strong enough to say, this is who I am? So in the meditations that you read from the website, it's wonderful, but you have to really focus on being who you are inside before you can express that out.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to focus and meditate on that. And I think, you know, I don't think it will be the last time that people will be stumbling over their words, not being sure how to say what it is they want to say. And I was thinking about that coming on the radio today. It's like, oh, well, I'm not on national television,
yeah.
At least, but, you know, allow yourself to say the things that are inside you. Allow them to come out. I'm reminded of a quote of Jesus that my mom used to love, which was, don't worry about what you say when you're brought before the magistrate. You'll say what's in you. And so that is really the opportunity of the 11-11-11. And coming at this really overwhelming, to me personally, full moon, I think there's a lot of things going on. Mars is just about to go into Virgo, and it's opposing Neptune, which is going direct today. What that means is, first of all, the energy is about the process. The energy is first, potentially with Mars and Virgo, making people hypercritical. You're not gonna get away with things. But it's also accelerating the process. And opposing Neptune, there's a lot of disappointment involved.
Uh-huh.
The Mars-Neptune opposition can pull a lot of disappointment. You have these grand visions, these grand ideals, these grand dreams. And then here's Mars heading into Virgo going, yeah, but what about that? Yeah, but what about that? Yeah, I don't know about that either. And so there's a strong pull there, as well as mm-hmm. the natural pull of the full moon when the moon's in Taurus opposing the sun in Scorpio, which happens every full moon. But it really can make things feel like they're falling apart, because any opposition means you have to balance two opposites. And the most important thing to do is try to stay in the middle where you are, be in the middle. Mm-hmm. So again, there's that strength. Do you have the strength to balance mm-hmm. these opposites, to balance these polarities?
Big job.
It is a big job. And the challenges are only going to get bigger. I mean, we are in what the Chinese like to call interesting times.
No kidding. Interesting times.
And we've just begun.
So let's just stop right here. Just, you know, we're in these interesting times, and it's intense, and it's going to get bigger. From what Elizabeth has said here, it's, you know, we're asking for the bigger, and we're also asking to make it, you know, so it's not overwhelming. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. Oh, well, I tried. I didn't get far, did I, Kevin?
Well, you have to find a way to relax.
Yes.
You have to find a way to, as some people would say, let go and let God.
Yes.
You can't be so attached to outcomes that you forget. That's, I think, the lesson of Virgo generally and Mars going into Virgo. You have to stay with the process. It's not about, the journey is not about where you're going. The journey is about where you are. Mm-hmm. The journey is the process. And so you have to stay with the process. That is how things keep from getting overwhelming. You have to stay in the moment. You mm-hmm. have to stay where you are. You have to try to find ways to express who you are. And you have to try to shed away as many of those opposing forces, or they may just feel like opposing forces. Those have to be recognized for the illusions they are. Because it's not real. The opposition is all inside yourself. The opposing forces, so to speak, are really your own creation. And you have to be able to let go and allow that process to move you where you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Based on what you said, I would think in the now, who am I right now? Who am I being right now?
Sure.
And what's in me right now? What's going on in here that I can be with?
And you have to accept that.
Yes.
And that's always the most difficult thing. Well, I don't want that to be going on inside
me. Right, right.
I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be that. I want to be something else.
Right.
You know? I want to be... And that's the kind of sort of the downside of Neptune, and Neptunian self-deception. Neptunian vision is what's grand, but then you can delude yourself, and you don't want to do that either. The best thing to do is be willing to love yourself right now just the way you are and keep that wherever you go. You have to be willing to accept that you're not a perfect person. You're not a perfect being. You're a being in process. You're a being living. You're a being evolving. You're a being growing. Everything is perfect because nothing is perfect. that makes any sense.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Because and so that is really the obstacle. That's the lesson of all these ones is how do you find a way to express yourself when you're not really sure anyone will approve of it?
Right.
Or you're not really sure that you like yourself. Or you're not really sure that you should like yourself because people might not approve of it. Or whatever the obstacles are, that's really the challenge. And you know, again, the other way to avoid becoming overwhelmed is simply have faith in that process.
The trust.
Have some faith, have a little trust that whatever happens is all moving towards the good.
And our place in the universe of what we came here to do.
Exactly.
It's the puzzle piece that I always talk about. You know, we came here to be the puzzle piece, and without us getting our act together, or if we ever do, or being ourselves, which is the most important, as I'm hearing you say, when we can be who we are and love ourselves as much as we possibly can in that moment, then we become the puzzle piece for maybe someone else. They've heard what we said. They see who we are and how we're being, how we're acting.
We're all vibrating. We're not stationary. We're not stopped, and we're not going to a place where we will stop, where we will be there. We're always moving. The physical, the material is vibration. It's just different vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are constantly thinking, well, I'm gonna make this thing, or I'm gonna do this thing, and then it'll be done. We're
yeah.
always aiming for that being done.
Yeah.
And when we get to that being done, there's a big uh-oh, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And so the end result is not nearly so important as the process of expression, the creative, the opportunities to creatively express who you are that are ever changing and always evolving. And that really, with all of these ones, with all of this I am energy, with all of this, you know, wow, there's a good amount of balance. So it shouldn't be and then, you know, tomorrow actually adds up to an 8, which is a Jupiter wisdom, Sagittarius, expansive, abundant number. So there's that as well. But you know, the other side to it is it might just seem comfortable and you might miss some really golden opportunities along the way. That's the thing when you stay in the moment is you're less likely to miss, you know, the opportunities that present themselves right there in front of you.
I know. Someone said, well, 11, 11, 11, does that mean we're going to have this big epiphany? I said, well, it could be. I don't know. But what we're saying here is to be in the moment, and the epiphany could be, oh, that one there, huh?
Or the epiphany may be, gee, I tried to say who I was, but I stumbled over my words. Maybe I really don't know who I am.
Right.
Maybe I need to do some more meditation and find out, you know.
I've been feeling because I, you know, let go of the radio program as far as selling radio time. And I focused on my spiritual work, my intuitive work, and doing this radio programs Tuesday through Thursday and just making them local and just being in my bliss when I'm doing them. And it has been such a process of joy and gratitude that I just said, oh, is this where I'm to end up? And if it is, fine, I'm just fine here. I know that there's a more. There's a more involved in all of this.
Well, the road is always giving us surprising twists and turns.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. One of my favorite little my favorite little quote stories, I guess you could say, is the riddle, what can make you happy when you're sad, and sad when you're happy. And that's this too shall pass.
Yes.
And you know, the story of the man who had a son who went out and bought a horse. He brought the horse home, and the son got on it and rode it, and he was so happy. that he'd gotten this horse and the son could ride it. And then the son fell off the horse and broke his arm. And he was so mad, he never should have gotten that horse. And then the soldiers from the king came and wanted all the eligible men to go fight in battle. But his son had a broken arm. And so he couldn't go. And he was so glad that his son had broken his arm. And he was so glad. And so you can go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. What's a good thing to happen? What's a bad thing to happen? What's the next turn that could make the bad thing a good thing? Or vice versa? You never know. That's why you have to stay in the moment.
Stay in the moment and bringing the positive out of whatever has happened. Yeah, and that's what's showing up in these cards, too. You know, the negativity of the mental defeat. Our mind is such a vice. I mean, it wants to just rip us apart, especially about this and about that. You know, he did this, he did that. And all of the other cards are showing, you know, they're lighter cards. And this, however, the astrology, that's what I can't quite get, why this should be mental defeat when it is Venus in Aquarius.
Venus in Aquarius, mental defeat.
It doesn't resonate, does it?
I'm having a little mental defeat of my own because I'm trying to remember. It seems as though Venus is in its detriment or fall, and I'm lost on my triplicities. Right?
That's
I'm
okay.
Lost on my, but I think that's because Venus actually is about comfort, stability, security, beauty. Mm-hmm. Uranus is about spontaneity and creativity and going off in any number of unstable and unpredictable different directions. So Venus isn't necessarily all that comfortable in Aquarius. So that's where the mental defeat, the wanting to. Venus wants to stop and enjoy and smell the roses, and Aquarius says, what about this? And what about that? And look over there. And look what's happening now. And look, and look, and look. So it's not quite the best
combination.
Comfort position.
Okay, very good. Well, and everything, you know, everything is a symbol of something that if we're asking questions and we're in the now and who am I right now and what's going on and what is my truth? I like that term. What is my truth right here, right now? And I'm looking up at the clouds, and I see a symbol of, it looks like a goose. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's what I say. God has put that symbol there for me to look at, and now what does it mean? How can I translate that into an answer? Mm-hmm. And so that, for me, is what being in the moment is, that everything is something that is, well, maybe it isn't. I think everything is something that gives us information.
Well, I think the thing that all these ones bring up is you may know your truth, and it may seem very clear when you feel it, but then what happens when you say it?
Yeah.
What happens when you put it out into the world? What kind of ripple effect does that create? And what if you? I know you think you understand what you think I said, but what you may not realize is that what you heard was not what I meant to say, or vice versa.
There you go.
So that's the one. The one is really about the expression of it. How do you express it? How do you express it in such a way that it's clear?
Mm-hmm.
Definite,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even, you know, it might not be too much to ask that it's in some way or another unassailable because it's my truth,
mm-hmm.
You know. Or what happens if it just doesn't come out right? You say X when you mean Y. And then you go, well, did I really mean X or was it Y? And then you're confused. So,
yeah.
So, you know, those I think are the questions that we're having now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know when you want to take a break, but it kind of brings up a segue for me in terms of the the Occupy movement and what's coming down the pike in the future, how the Pluto and Capricorn transit, the whole thing that started in 2008, if you remember back then,
yes,
when things really started to crumble and collapse, mm-hmm, and structures became very unsteady. I think that Pluto, and I wrote about this actually on my website when I finally got back to writing and blogging.
Yay!
Pluto really asks, what do you want? You know, what do you want to, what do you want to do with all that beautiful creative energy that you have inside? How do you want to transform your life? How do you want to grow and develop into the next phase? What do you want? And I think it's interesting that the Occupy movement is constantly getting that question. They're constantly getting the, what are your demands? You know, and honestly, I think right now what they seem to be doing is, well, we just want to say what we think. We just want to be out here and say, this is what our truth is, you know,
uh-huh,
just like we've been talking about. This is what our truth is, but there's all this, you know, what do you want? And there's all of these different interpretations that talk about, well, you just don't like money, or why do you, you know, why is it okay to have your iPod walking around in Zahir Square, or what actually is your story? I think this movement over time is going to morph, and I think probably within a year it will in some manner or another be unrecognizable, and yet it's a beginning, it's a coming together, it's a relating and communicating. Saturn ruling Pluto in Capricorn is in Libra. Libra is the sign, or Libra.
I like Libra.
I should learn to say Libra because people understand that more.
I like Libra.
I grew up learning Libra. But Libra is the sign of connection. It's the sign of relationships. It's the sign of interaction. So right now, the Pluto and Capricorn transformation that we're all undergoing is being impacted by that Saturn and Libra feel of, we've got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to put this out on the table so people can understand. We've got to talk about it. We've got to talk it through. We've got to weigh all the sides, and we've got to make sure all the sides are heard. And so essentially, I think there's a really interesting element of the Occupy movement, which is saying, we just don't feel like we're being heard. You know, we want to talk about some of the inequality and what we see as injustice. And so, you know, right now under this environment, I think it's very strong, but I do believe that it will morph. And I believe that it will morph by next year about this time into a very different looking kind of movement. And how that develops, I'm not sure. But I do know that the movement of Saturn into Scorpio about this time next year, October of 2012,
mm-hmm,
is really going to up the stakes. It's really going to demand that changes be made to the system so that people are following the rules. And those rules, in a spiritual sense, Saturn is about physical law. You know, Saturn, mm-hmm, Saturn is about the material, you know, the laws of physics. But in this sense, with Pluto and Capricorn, it really means that governments are going to have to stand up and say, who am I?
Yes.
What do I represent? Who am I for? You know, am I for the people? Am I for the special interests? Am I for the corporations? Am I? And so there's a lot of demand that's likely to be placed on the system to definitively define,
mm-hmm,
what the rules are and how they apply. And if the rules have been broken, that's when Pluto in Capricorn and Saturn in Scorpio are going to be pretty serious about inflicting some penalties or simply wiping away the old things that aren't working and beginning the process of a new system that is hopefully going to work better.
And what my observation has been is, and maybe this is just what the media is putting out, that they don't understand why they're out there. They're just out there because they, you know, some of them are out there as a lark. Kind of like the 60s, you know, people were out there just, you know, rebelling, of course, against Vietnam. And yet there are some out there who are definitely, they understand why they're there and how, why the system has to change. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming up to an election next year, 2012. And that comes in November, right? Mm-hmm. And whether we, and I don't know how the candidates are going to shake out, but it's going to be a very interesting election because of all these planets. And you mentioned before about, what was it? You said that Saturn in Scorpio next year. Yeah, and that's going to be the kicker right there.
I believe now, I was looking at that a while ago, and I thought, well, let's see. I know that the United States was begun July 4th, 1776, that Pluto was in Capricorn. And that was the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, was that 20-year period, mostly before 1776. Mm-hmm. That was the real transition. And, of course, Pluto hadn't been discovered yet. So the vibration was a little different. Mm-hmm. It was not necessarily as clear what that effect was. But Pluto in Capricorn was definitely challenging the authority, which at that time was monarchies, the monarchy in France, the mm-hmm. monarchy in England. And then I found it was very interesting what happened to occur the last time that Pluto was in Capricorn and Saturn went into Scorpio, just happened to be December 7th, 1776, when George Washington was crossing the Delaware.
How about that?
And, of course, for a month after that, he went back and forth and was struggling to control New Jersey. And I'm not a Revolutionary War expert, but it was quite a significant point in mm-hmm. the Revolutionary War. It was a turning point. That was the last time that Saturn was in Capricorn, those 2 years from 1776 to 1778, the real crux of the Revolutionary War. Now, I don't think that we are moving into that kind of war type scenario. In fact, I think just the opposite. I think when we talk about numbers, I think it's very interesting that since the year 2000, we have fewer and fewer people born with ones or nines, obviously, in their birthday. They're all born with twos. And we start to see, and I was really fascinated when I was starting to research before I rebuild Bring Mom's book into the 21st century. There's a lot more emphasis in the people that are just beginning, just coming up, that have to do with a more cooperative attitude, that have to do with less about the ambition and idealism that can bring people to cross purposes, mm-hmm. and more about cooperating and understanding in the live and let live philosophy. It gives me a lot of hope.
Excellent. And that's what I wanted to have put out here. I don't think we're going to take a break here because we have too much interesting information. Sorry about if you want to hear my boring ads. We're not going to go there. Yeah, because and this is really important material here. And I know some people don't care for astrology, all three of them that I know of, and that's good. And so I want to, you know, just bring it around to your mom, because she was a quite a well-known astrologer. She's written books. I have several of them that they sit here, but I haven't really gotten into them. And so you sat at the feet of a master who knew astrology, and you learned from her right from the get-go.
She actually started studying astrology right around the time that I was born. And I actually did. She would bring me to her classes when she had a tutor, an astrology tutor. She used to travel up to Portland once a week and have classes. And I would literally sit at her feet, just like you said, which is kind of funny. I was there. And, of course, as she did her research and she explored a variety of different things, she explored numerology, she explored biorhythms, she explored something called cell salts, Dr. Schussler's mineral salts. And she was also very much connected to organic foods. And so she had a wide range of interests. She was also very much involved in the American Friends Service Committee and the World Without War Committee. So she was a kind of a peacenik. But a little earlier than, this was in the late 50s and early 60s. Mm-hmm. So a little earlier than the movement had begun. But
ahead of her time.
She started focusing on astrology more and more as time went on and began assembling a card file of various influences. She would pull together information that she gleaned from a number of different sources. And so what I've done, she's passed away. She passed away about 6 years ago. And what I've started doing is taking her books, which her first book was published in 1972. That was Degrees of the Zodiac. And it actually is still sort of available on Amazon.com, although the price seems a little ridiculous. You can also get information on it from my website, PlutosChild.com. And I do have copies available. But that was the first book, and she published that in 1972. She went on to publish a numerology book and a book on conjunctions that included information about the asteroids and also a book of transits that was a very large book and a book about Sun Ascendant called Sun Ascendant Rulerships. So three of those books were published by a publisher, Degrees of the Zodiac by McCoy Publishing, and then Vulcan Publishing published another two, and then three were self-published. But what I've started to do is go back to the source of her material. I've pulled out all her card files, and I am in the process of trying to follow her footsteps through, but carry it into the new century. And so my goal is to take all of her work and refashion it and bring it up to date and then make it available again.
Now let's go back to our original question we were talking about, which is the who you really are.
Uh-huh.
And so this is bringing you right down to who you really are, at sitting at the feet of the master, mm-hmm. your mom, who has, you know, she's researched, and you're right back here. Now you're doing the research. You're researching her material, and you're expanding that now.
Right. I'm taking her research, which she was wonderful about, you know, keeping together.
Mm-hmm.
She has this amazing two shoeboxes full of little cards that she typed on both sides, and I'm taking her research and some of her books that go back. Actually, all the way back to Evangeline Adams and Alan Leo, and then on into Mark Edmund Jones and Dane Rudjar, but also trying to pull in newer information. Mm-hmm. She had just begun to work with asteroids and Chiron, and also I think there's interesting information in numerology. She was very interested in numerology, particularly how it related to astrology,
mm-hmm.
and the correlations and the overlap between those two. And you know, there's a different astrology is very much connected to the culture in which one lives.
Yes.
You need to be able to understand how to interpret the archetypes that astrology presents. And so I think that it's helpful sometimes to do a little reinterpretation of the symbols for all information related to astrology. But that's what I'm doing.
Good, very good. So you're walking your talk, exactly what's coming up here. I'm synthesizing my material also. I'm actually going through all the old flyers that I made and all the notes that I had with the mystery schools that I went to. And it's so interesting to see, I did that way back then. Mm-hmm. So I encourage all of the listeners, if you would like to go and peruse his website, it's Pluto's Child, Pluto's, Pluto's Child, Child.com. And just investigate the whole thing, and I believe you have a daily, something comes up daily of information?
There's a daily number based on her numerology book, and there's also, you have the opportunity to enter your name and your birthday and get some numerological information. And as well, you can enter your birth data and get a report that includes degrees from her book, Degrees of the Zodiac, mm-hmm. as well as planetary placement information.
Well, for the for what's coming up in next week for me, I went ahead and ran a chart for me, a progress chart, and then would it be a lunar chart or a solar?
Solar return.
Solar return.
For your birthday.
For my birthday, my born day. I couldn't get to the 17th in there. I could only get the 16th before it started going crazy out of me. So I printed it out, and I'm going to sit and work with it. And, it's interesting to sit and see what's sitting here.
What's sitting here? Oh, you mean you.
Yeah,
who's
sitting here? I mean, me, and as a solar return. What is a solar return, by the way, for the people who are listening?
Well, a solar return is just simply, it's sometimes called your birthday, although it doesn't necessarily occur exactly on your birthday every year. It is the time at which the sun returns to exactly the same place in the sky that it was when you were born. So sometimes if you were born early in the morning on say the 17th, you might possibly have a solar return that occurs on the 16th, or even possibly stretched all the way out till early in the morning of the 18th.
That's why
it
wouldn't
go. Because the sun changes slightly every year. That's why when you talk about sun signs and people say, oh, I was born on the 23rd, that makes me Leo. Well, actually, no, the sun didn't get to Leo until the 24th that day. Or, mm-hmm. you know.
And I think that's why it came up the 16th of November instead of the 17th.
That's right. It would do that. So, and the solar return is essentially, that's your boost. That's the way the cycle spins. It's the oomph that gets you started on a little course correction or a little mm-hmm. extra jets or, but it's also a vulnerable time. Your
yes.
birthday is a very vulnerable time when you're, to some extent, it's like a mini birth process because mm-hmm. you're rebirthing every year. It's, you know, it's your birthday, mm-hmm. you're rebirthing. It's a return and a new start. And you know, I think that kind of brings to mind something that I think may be important to say that I've been thinking about a lot is that we can all start over at any time.
Right.
It's important to remember when you approach your life and defining who you are and saying, this is who I am. You can start over anytime you want.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Kevin, for coming on the program. It was so interesting.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, it could bring you back again. And so you've been listening to Kevin Leinbach, and you can go to his website, which is Pluto's with an S, child.com. And if you'd like to contact him, you can go to that website and then go ahead and contact him. We're out of time. I'll be back on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday next week. And I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.